Hi, I'm Jackie, and I am extremely addicted to Australian Survivor.
Hi, I'm Molly, and I'm extremely addicted to Australian Survivor.
And now the latest scourge on television, reality TV.
I do like the way that you mirror me every time, and I have considered, like, trying to make them ridiculous, but then I think that's mean, and so I just say whatever pops into my head.
Ha ha.
So, after the first three episodes, I wasn't, like, as into it as I was with, like, previous seasons that we've watched, but now, like, six episodes in, I'm in.
I'm in, and it, even with, American Survivor, it takes me about this many episodes to get invested in the people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're new, you don't care about them, you don't know their personality, they, you know, even the people that rub you the wrong way, you know, by the time we're six episodes in, they become a little bit more endearing, or you see their motivations a little bit better, or see how
yes.
they're fitting together a little bit better. You know, because even the most annoying player, you know, if they partner up with somebody that complements their annoyance,
mm-hmm.
then you don't mind why they're annoying.
And that's one of the things that bothers me about American Survivor, because six episodes in now is halfway. Like, you don't
right.
get to spend any time with these people anymore.
Right. I agree.
And I wrote down a note that I love, like, the three episodes in a row. Like, I feel like it keeps my excitement for the show rolling so much more than once a week.
I completely agree with you there.
And I'm
Definitely.
Glad that it's not like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm glad they're kind of like consecutive.
Right. And it's almost like you wonder why American Survivor doesn't try to pull the same kind of thing, unless
mm-hmm.
they just don't think that they would have the same kind of audience draw. You know, but I think it would grow into it if they would do it this way.
I agree. I'm dying for someone to catch on to all of the Americans that are watching this and, like, distribute it for people to watch widely, because it's vastly superior. And then that'll put, like, American Survivor to the gun to, like, improve their shit.
You would think so, definitely.
And, like, I get that they made effort with the 90-minute episodes and they're going more in on the people, but
yeah, it's a lot.
Still a lot of nonsense for nonsense's sake. So at the beginning of episode 5, I wrote down that I respected Kelly for being honest, but then by like 5 minutes into the episode, I still wanted to punch her in the face.
I still can't get over the fact she's a psychologist, but she seems like she's flying by the seat of her pants.
Yes.
You and know, she seems like that friend that you're both in a bar or a restaurant, and she's the one that wants to talk loud and start singing. and you can't tell, are you just that crazy, or are you trying to be annoying?
Yeah. I keep waiting for, like, some other switch to come on with her, or some other aspect of her personality to show up, but
exactly.
It's just grating right now, and it makes me sad.
Exactly. And I keep wanting her to say, haha, I've been playing a character this whole time, like in a confessional.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let's see if anybody catches on to the fact that, you know, I'm doing this on purpose.
Yes, exactly. One thing that I noted, like, we're six episodes in, and normally by this time I'm rooting for one tribe or the other, and I don't feel like I'm doing that this time. I don't really care who wins the challenges, because I like pretty much both tribes, or I dislike equally both tribes, but I'm not rooting on a tribe. I am rooting on individual people, but not a tribe as a whole, and that is such a weird experience for me.
Right, and I feel the same way, and the fact that I don't view them as one above another.
Yes.
When they're cutting to the individual, you know, camp life, I have to stop and think, okay, which tribe is this?
Mm-hmm. Same,
because
same.
My brain isn't thinking, oh, that's the one I like. That's the one I don't like.
Yes, exactly. And that's normally how I differentiate the tribes.
Right.
And I also don't think I hate Raymond, the goofy blonde guy. I think I kind of like him.
He gets these looks on his face like he's trying to be a prankster, but he just doesn't have it. But he just doesn't have it in him.
He's trying to make an elf face.
Well, it's almost he just looks like he has a costume on.
I can see that.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, I don't feel like he's being his authentic self, but I also don't think he knows who his authentic self is.
Yes, I agree with that. But I find him to be endearing, and I hope that maybe on this surviving journey, he will find his authentic self a little bit more. That would be awesome.
I hope so, too. I mean, the only person that I've really seen him bonding with is Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not good for him right now.
No. He just put himself in the crazy bucket.
So I still love the V Alliance. I love Valeria and I forgot the other one's name. Viola and Valeria. Yes. I love both of them. I think Valeria is so smart and I like them teamed up with Mark very much.
I do too. It seems a little tenuous right now. It'll be very, very interesting with this coming week when they swap up.
I'm so excited for the swap.
Right. So wherever those chips lie is going to be the test as to whether or not this stuff is going to work.
So Mickey watched the episodes with me and he got introduced to another Australian Survivor trend, which is Jonathan saying dirty things during the challenges.
Exactly. Now, did he catch on to it before you told him?
No, I busted out laughing. Like, I was crying laughing when Jonathan said, busting nut after nut. I was like, exactly. Oh my God, they're doing it to him.
Exactly. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, Jackie's going to love that one.
I was dying. It's so goofy.
But I don't know if that humor is part of their culture. You know, are they doing it the he said something close to naughty? Or I don't think that they would get away with that on American TV.
Mm-mm. I don't think they would either. I think people would be all up in arms about it. Which is so dumb because they're okay watching people kill each other on television.
I'll agree with you.
It's one of my biggest annoyances is that people find sex to be more important than violence.
But 9 times out of 10, you know, he's not making any comment that any, you know, fifth grader on the school playground wouldn't make.
Right.
So, you know, he's not talking about hardcore comments. He's just making little punny jokes based on the balls and the pounding and the, you know.
And the nuts. Oh, Jonathan. He's just the best. Did any of the challenges stand out to you?
Not really.
I felt like the back-to-back balancing.
Oh, forget that. Yeah, no.
That was like so many layers of awful.
No, and can you imagine Sean from last season that we watched?
He's like, what, awkward.
6'10"?
Yeah.
Who would he match with?
He would have been like a pretzel. He would have been an S.
Oh, no. Nothing there looked comfortable at all.
No, I agree. The only other thing that sticks out for me as a memory from any of the other challenges was the balancey puzzle platform thingy.
I did like that one.
Yes, I like that combination of skills.
I couldn't figure out why one tribe wasn't trying to copy the other tribe.
Me neither. And I thought it was really kind of obvious by editing to show the solution to the Rebels puzzle twice, but never show the solution to the Titans puzzle once. Like, I know what the solution was, but it seemed like a too obvious tip of the hat to the winner of the challenge to me.
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
And we got to see them have toasties.
They love their toasties, but I don't know if I really want baked beans in my sandwich.
Yeah, that's kind of strange. And also, they seemed really messy to make.
Yes.
And then probably equally messy to eat.
Well, there's no way you're eating that on a beach without getting sand in it.
Ugh. I don't want sand in anything.
Right.
And I did find out if Scott was a male or a female, because he did get some lines this time. And you are right, he is a dude.
Yes.
Although I would like the name Scott for a lady. That would be fun. Okay, so let's talk about the box.
Okay, the box. Now, because if I'm not mistaken, he found that box by himself in the first place.
Yes, he did.
Before knowing anything about anything.
Yes.
So just earmark that in your brain.
Okay.
So then we get to the point where now we have the keys and, you know, it came with a reward. Mm-hmm. And we're going to split up and go into different directions and everybody look for whatever this key may fit. You know, so of course he and his little scouting group go out there and immediately find the box and open it. Mm-hmm. And realize what's in it, and then get caught, and basically have to lie about what they found.
It was the worst shuffling of lies ever.
It was, you know, he knew he was caught in a lie, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with him. But, because he, at that point, he had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was apparent that there were keys that are sitting on the table with the reward. He would have been worse off just trying to grab the keys.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. So he took the only path he could have in that choose your own ending journey.
Yeah, I don't fault him at all there.
No. So, but I did think it was an interesting decision during the next time both tribes were on a mat for him to shout over, "Hey, did you find your box yet?" to the other
yes.
tribe. I liked the move, but I don't think everybody on his own tribe appreciated it.
I don't think so. I don't think so either, because they didn't want the other tribe to have any kind of advantages. And I like who picked up on his little yell, too. Like, I like that. I feel like when a merge or a swap happens, that
Mark
and Ferris are going to get along well.
Right.
I like that as a team up.
So now when Mark goes and scouts out and finds the box, He's not waiting for the other key. He just smashes right into the box.
I loved that. So I wasn't expecting that out of him.
No. Okay. I remember the point that I asked you to earmark earlier
mm-hmm.
in my whole description. Now, I watched the Australian Survivor recap show that has George on it. And
yes.
it's their weekly recap. So something that they discussed about this scenario is, was it against the rules for him to break the box? And George's take, which I completely agree with, is there was no instructions not to.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they didn't want them to break the box, either make it so that you can't break it that easily
mm-hmm.
or tell them not to break it.
Exactly.
Right? You know, maybe have something that says must use key to open or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do not open without a key. So going back to what I said earlier, when Ferris first found that box, why didn't he break it right then?
I don't know.
Right? That would have solved.
Know. I didn't even watching it through and seeing Mark open the box the way that Mark opened the box, I didn't even question why Ferris is just a good boy. He's a role model.
Right. But when I first saw him come across that box, my first thought was, I wonder how hard it is to just stomp on the box and break it. Because nothing that came after that, none of the, you know, finding out about the key and yelling about it to the other tribe and all this mm-hmm. other nonsense, none of that would have happened if he would have just broke it, got into it, gotten out of there.
Yep. That says a lot about his character, and I didn't think about that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I already liked him. I like Ferris. I think he's a fun player. And I would have loved to see him be the saboteur instead of Kelly. I think he would have had so much fun with it.
I think he would have had fun with it, but I'm glad they didn't send him, because to me, that would have put an even bigger target on his back.
It would have 100%. He would have been an easy vote out when he got back.
And I wish he had a better poker face.
He does not have much of a poker face.
No, because he's always sneering when he's thinking, you know, instead of just either having a blank slate or maybe, you know, laughing about something, looking off in the distance, hey, look, a bird, you know. No, he's always looks like his wheels are turning. He needs to shut that off.
Yes. Okay, so hold on. The first episode we lost Tobias because Kelly did her weird vote switching thing. And then the second episode was the Kelly sabotage vote.
Right.
How do you think she did as a saboteur?
Terrible.
I don't think she fucking did anything. And I don't think they should have let her back in the other tribe because she didn't do her mission.
I was waiting for another twist whereby either Jonathan takes her aside and says, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, so therefore you have to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get sent to some exile, which Kelly would have had a very hard time with.
Oh,
you know,
God. Who is she going to fucking talk to?
Yeah, I mean, I like that it was very straightforward in that we told you to come over here and do something. Whether you did it or not, you're going back. Mm-hmm. I like that it was straightforward, but I expected it to take a turn.
Yeah. I was disappointed that it didn't because I don't feel like she fulfilled her duty. I don't feel like she did anything to sabotage anything.
She set the challenge out.
Yeah. And her setting the challenge out is not a sabotage, as we have seen.
No, and the look on everybody else's faces when she said she wanted to sit out, they're like, wait a minute, you're the one that always wants to be put in the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If anything, she did her best to sabotage the other team. I don't like her. I want her to go away, but I know they have to have a villain.
But that's the thing. I don't think that she's a villain. I think she's not sure what she wants to do yet.
Mm.
Unless they're hiding some confessionals from us. Because, you know, if she comes up a few episodes from now and says, oh, I've been doing this way all the time because of that. And I'm like, no. You know, you can go back and rewrite your history.
Oh, yeah.
To suit where you are later, but...
And who did we lose last episode? We lost, Nathan, another big boy.
And I think that was a mistake, but they're about to switch things up. So, you know, it's not like that's going to leave them uneven strength-wise.
Yeah. The whole Caroline and Nathan food rationing thing was so confusing to me. Because are they just talking about how much he eats every day compared to everybody else? Because they get food at certain amount. I don't know. It seemed like a lot of screen time spent on that.
Yeah, I don't think that they get... I don't think it's a matter of, hey, when your bag is empty, you get another bag.
Ah.
I think it's a matter that you get a bag every X days. Right.
In that instance, getting rid of him was probably a good idea.
Well, but was it, though? Because they're about to switch things up, you know?
Yeah, but...
Because he wasn't... Once they got PETA out of the way, he wasn't being antagonistic towards anybody purposefully.
No, he wasn't.
He could have been a number for anybody.
The whole interaction with Caroline really rubbed me the wrong way with her.
Yes.
Partly because she kind of reminded me of Kelly, because they look so similar.
Well, my problem with Caroline is this isn't a dictatorship. You know, and even on the recap show, George was saying Caroline would have been his vote for the one to get out because... You know, it's everyone's rice. Nobody else was complaining about it but her.
Yeah, and she was making a big ass deal about it.
Right.
She was making a big ass deal about it. Another observation that Mickey had while we were watching is how wholesome it is compared to the United States version. And I was like, yes, that's why I love it.
What is in good gameplay?
Good gameplay, how they each tribe supports, like, even though they're fighting, you know, in the challenges and whatnot, they still support each other and
right.
aren't like nasty to each other.
Yeah.
It really is, like, and the thing is, because you know, Americans have spent so much time watching American TV, they don't know anything else, and like the rest of the world ain't as hard as us.
Yeah, I agree. And even what I find fascinating is even later in the Australian Survivor seasons, when somebody gets voted out at tribal, they're not looking around with death stares, you know, at the people that voted them out. And,
yeah.
you know, they're looking around and going, oh, good game. Nice move. You mm-hmm. know, see you guys later. You know, they're not trying to have a knee jerk hate reaction for not continuing on with the show.
Yeah,
and
it's like,
they understand it's just a game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. It's like they understand it's a game. And Americans don't so much.
No.
I feel like we're going to be getting into the heat of it soon because we have, I think American Survivor starts in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and do we want to go into that?
Yeah, might as well.
So I've been watching profiles, interview profiles of these new players
mm-hmm.
on Survivor 46. And it's just interesting to me how many of them said, oh, I started watching Survivor during the COVID shutdown.
Oh, that is interesting.
Just about every single interview that I've seen so far, that's where they said they started watching it.
Huh. So they only know new era play.
No, they claim to have gone back and watched
all
the other ones. But it got so repetitive, it made me think if that was a talking point that somebody gave them.
Yeah, or like a very seated question that they asked them.
Well, the interviewer, it was Mike Bloom from Parade Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So he was basically asking them all the same questions, but it was more of a conversational situation rather than number one, answer this, number two, answer
yeah.
that. You know, he sprinkled the same questions into the conversation with everyone and just let them roll with it. But he was asking if you could bring anyone, you know, a celebrity or a fictional character to the loved ones visit with you, who would you bring?
Mm-hmm.
Another question was, you know, what previous Survivor non-winner do you associate yourself with? And which winner do you associate yourself with? His other questions were along the lines of, you know, when you get to the beach and they have that first journey, are you going to volunteer or how are you going to handle that situation? You know, would you want to go on the journey?
I don't want any more journeys.
I know. But, you know, a lot of the questions were getting people to think in a way that they're thinking as a viewer. They're not thinking as a player.
Interesting.
Right?
I know there's two Orlando people on the new cast.
Right.
There's one lady and one fella. Before we continue with that, I want to go back to Australian Survivor, where we got to see some family memory pictures, which I love that they do that so early in the season, because I really feel like it helps us get to know the players better, and it helps them get to know each other better.
I didn't mind it, but why did they have to be baby pictures?
That part, I don't know.
Because weird.
I wouldn't give two shits to have my own baby picture around.
No, it's not that I would mind it, but, you know, I think I would be able to relate to my fellow tribe members more if I saw a picture of them with their family or a picture
yeah, like
of them with their dog. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care where you were 30 years ago.
Yeah, that is a. I'm sure there's some psychological reason they chose to do it that way.
It's weird.
It's weird. I wonder if there's like a slice in the new Survivor cast where like half of them have been watching since whatever, and half of them have been watching since COVID, and half of them have been watching since like before COVID. I just wish they would split them up with a purpose again.
I don't remember how they're splitting them up this time. I think I probably heard it in an interview and it just didn't stick.
Was that good of a
Didn't stick.
split up?
Yeah.
We're splitting them up by last names this time.
I, you know, draw a number out of a hat for goodness sake. But you know that the initial division of the tribes is purposeful.
Yeah, 100%. And that is why I think on the previous season of American Survivor that they 100% stack Lulu to lose.
I can't think anything else.
I mean, it's impossible to think anything else.
And maybe they just put Caleb on there as a ringer.
I guess. I mean, and I'm sure that they thought that they were being so clever by calling him Lulu, because it sounds like losers, but it's not really that clever. It's pretty obvious.
It's terrible.
Yeah. All right, I think we did the thing. I'm ready to watch The Amazing Race. I have been Jackie.
I have been Molly.
Stay tuned. My brain forgot what to say at the end for a second there.